In case you missed it, Connecticut decided not to select an offshore wind project in this multi-state effort. And I wanted to talk about the importance of this, but also why you can't just take your foot off the brake, if you will, and think that this is off the table for good. I have a feeling that lawmakers are still very focused on this, especially as we head into the legislative session in 2025. Joining us now is State Senator Ryan Fazio, ranking senator as well, on the Energy and Technology Committee. Senator Fazio, welcome back. First and foremost, let's talk about some of the, if you will, holes in the plan. We knew that this was not a perfect fit per se, but Connecticut getting into the offshore wind project idea, you know, why was this not a perfect plan to start with?
Listen, Connecticut in the long run is going to need more energy. Demand for electricity in particular is rising all across the country because of electric vehicles, data centers, electric heat. So we're going to need to create more electricity. And so the question is, what should we do in order to accomplish that? And one idea was offshore wind. The problem is the price for offshore wind has risen so significantly that now, probably if we had purchased offshore wind in this solicitation with Massachusetts, it would have cost like four times the market rate of electricity, around $160 per megawatt hour, compared to the current competitive market for electricity, which is about $40. So I and other House and Senate Republicans had been urging the governor not to make this purchase for basically the entirety of the last year. Mm-hmm. We're glad that he has chosen currently, or for the time being, as you said, to not make this purchase. But, you know, the authority still exists with the governor's office and the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection to make future purchases. And we, as House and Senate Republicans, our proposal, the proposal that I co-authored, has been that, hey, if you're going to make a long-term energy purchase as Connecticut, which is ultimately going to be borne by the ratepayers, there should be an upward limit to the price relative to the competitive market for electricity. You should not be forcing ratepayers who are paying too much already to purchase electricity at two or three times the market rate for electricity, which our state currently does. There needs to be limitations in order to protect consumers who, again, are just paying so much in Connecticut.
So it looks like, and there was a longer announcement, which we'll give you the link, actually, when we post Senator Fazio's podcast to our website so you can read it. But earlier this month, it was talking about their clean energy selections. And it looks like they're really going to be leaning on, looks like solar power is a big thing. But the other was storage. There's a storage project that they're going to be doing. They said it's Connecticut's first grid scale storage selection. I'm curious, Senator Fazio, if you could help kind of distinguish. You were saying offshore wind is insanely expensive, but why is it so much more expensive than some of these other options that Connecticut is going to be exploring? For example, as I mentioned, solar being, it seems like they're investing, it says three awarded solar projects. That's something that they're going to be pursuing.
Yeah. So some of the large scale solar projects are actually, lower cost, significantly lower cost than, say, offshore wind. Why is the cost of offshore wind escalated? Well, first, I do have a suspicion that, it was always more expensive than we had been led to believe. We were kind of, when all these states, including Connecticut, basically decided to give authority to its governor's offices to make these purchases, they were probably, I wouldn't say sold a bill of goods, but basically that it was going to be more competitive on price, because a lot of people wanted to see it happen. This decision by the legislature was made before my time in the legislature, and the authority still exists with the governor to purchase up to 2,000 megawatts, which is an enormous quantity of electricity. But, some of the solar can be, within the realm of affordability. maybe my expectations are too low. But we actually don't have all the answers to their announcement on the solar purchase, and we deserve answers as consumers. What's the price going to be? Is this an existing, you know, was this purchase for solar, this something that was going to happen anyway? My assumption is that it was something that was under existing authority. Mm. It was probably planned anyway, and they were trying to make an announcement at the same time about purchasing something that was quote unquote renewable to satisfy their, you know, their environmental faction of their party.
Right. The people
at the
who want to say,
they were saying,
okay, you're not going to invest in this. So what are you going to do? It's appeasing both sides, if you will.
Exactly. So I think that might have been what was afoot, but we don't really have answers about the solicitation. And a lot of the solar is enormously expensive. A lot of the battery is enormously expensive. And the other funny thing is that the more you rely on wind and solar, the more you're going to have a source of electricity on top of that that fills in the gaps of when the sun isn't shining and the wind isn't blowing. You know, Germany, for instance, has this problem. New England has this problem a little bit, but really countries like Germany that rely heavily on those sources have this problem. And they either need to spend an enormous amount on battery storage, which isn't really economical. It's very unaffordable, so it adds to consumers' costs. Or they need to just turn on coal and oil plants, which is, you know, ironic because those are the dirtiest forms of electricity in comparison to natural gas, say, which is a lot cleaner.
Yeah. Well, and it is interesting, Senator Fazio, that you bring up those questions, because in this release that I was reading before I even saw the Republican statement that came out, you know, just days ago regarding this decision from Connecticut, I kept going through it. And look, I'm you know, not the best when it comes to, you know, speed reading. So I went through it 2, 3, 4 times. I kept seeing, you know, this is going to save ratepayers in Connecticut $424 million in energy supply costs. But I kept saying, OK, so but how much money is it to have these solar projects? One is in Connecticut, 2 are in Maine. All it talks about is the pros, which I'm fine with energy saving costs. I'd love to find more of those opportunities. But again, that missing link, as you mentioned, the cost of these, I continue to not see that. Did you ever get an answer from the governor, his administration, DEEP, anybody, in regards to just how much money any of these types of projects, I mean, specifically the offshore wind, they backed away from it. But did you get any sense of how much money that was going to cost us?
No. And when someone says it's going to save you money, you know, they're probably engaged in, you know, a certain accounting tactics that, you know, that would make, you know, that would make most people blush.
Right. You're burying the lead.
You know, why not just say the price? Like, if you know how much it's going to save, why don't you give us the simpler number of price? Because that's something that's more transparent and that people can compare to what the normal price of buying electricity is in the wholesale market. I mean, I think we probably know why, because it's still above the market rate for electricity. Mm-hmm. I know how much solar is purchased at in Connecticut, you know, over the last several years, and it's anywhere from twice or three times the market rate for electricity to the residential solar. The solar on people's roofs is like 8 or 10 times the market price of electricity.
Wow.
And by the way, all of that stuff, those purchases are subsidized through the public benefits portion of your electric bill. So that's part of what accumulates in that section of your electric bill, all those subsidies. So, you know, why not just say how much it costs instead of some weird accounting kind of reference to how much it's saving us? Well, probably because it costs a lot. So we do deserve those answers as consumers, and we'll be asking the administration for them.
I could tell you utility costs definitely affect your neighborhood and should affect you as a ratepayer. And you're listening to Melissa in the Morning. We are chatting with Senator Ryan Fazio right now, ranking senator on the Energy and Technology Committee. And we know Republicans this week were praising the decision of Governor Lamont, which was to walk away from an offshore wind project. And my question now, Senator Fazio, is we are just shy of our next legislative session. It is a longer session starting in January. And I want to make sure that people are paying attention, because one of the big, I'd say, victories for either party is when you have the involvement of the Connecticut people either backing or opposing what is being discussed up in Hartford. And so when it comes to utility costs, I would love to hear anybody who feels like we have the perfect plan in place here. So let people know, Senator Fazio, what conversations do you believe are going to be going on up in Hartford during the session and people should be paying attention to?
So just so everyone knows, a legislative term is 2 years. All of the legislators get elected for a 2-year term. The first year, the odd numbered year, which is coming up, is the long session, as Melissa mentioned. And that's the one where you're in the legislature for the longest period of time. This year, it starts January 8th and it ends June 4th. And you have to create a budget and you pass more laws than you do in the even numbered year, which is the election year. But we're going to go in on January 8th and all legislators are going to they're going to submit, introduce bills and different proposals. Those bills are going to be, some of them are going to be raised for a public hearing. And so in January and February and March, but mostly late January and February, the public is going to have an opportunity to speak up, either submit written testimony for or against bills, or actually testify in person or over Zoom. And quite frankly, when dozens of people testify in favor or against a bill, it does make a difference in the mind of legislators. So we strongly encourage, you know, especially on issues like energy, we want to see the public speak out in favor or against proposals that will lower or increase our cost of electricity. And the last 2 years, I've co-authored a plan, a five-point plan that would cut those public benefits costs and reduce the long-term cost curve for electricity in the state. And, you know, I don't know what favor it's going to be received this time with my Democratic colleagues. They haven't passed it the last 2 years that I've proposed it, but we're going to keep proposing it and keep trying to work across the aisle, build consensus for policies that will make Connecticut more affordable and lower the cost of energy.
Yeah, which again, unless you live in a Wally World, which is where Paul Pacelli, my colleague, lives for Connecticut Today, there are, you know, most of Connecticut has become very unaffordable when it comes to our utility costs. And, you know, we're constantly told by the leaders like Eversource and UI, you know, shop around, look for other options. And I'm sorry, but I think Connecticut ratepayers are pretty educated. They've tried. They are looking. There's really not a lot of options out there, you know, in the resources available to us. We're sort of kind of, I would say, locked in with the situation we're in, and it's just getting exponentially harder and harder to pay those bills and to justify them. So it's definitely something I know you are focused on, Senator Fazio. I hope lawmakers on both sides of the aisle are focused on finding more solutions and certainly hoping for more engagement from Connecticut listeners to speak up and to have their voices heard when the time comes in 2025. So I thank you so much, and I know we'll be talking in the new year plenty, I can imagine.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if anyone wants to follow along, you can sign up for my email newsletter where I kind of, you know, try to keep people updated on the progress of bills, the opportunities to testify publicly. That's at senatorfazio.com. Or you can follow along. The General Assembly website is cga.ct.gov, and it's pretty easy to use, and it has a schedule there. But when the public's engaged, it actually makes a difference. When you testify before legislators, it does change minds. So we want the public engaged in arguing that we need reforms to drive the cost down in Connecticut for the coming years.
Senator Ryan Fazio, thank you again. Always appreciate it. And we will be in touch in 2025.
Happy New Year.
All right. You too.